Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. This Aspire, this satsang radio program is being recorded for Sunday, November the 13th, 2016, and I'm very grateful to be with you, and I am very grateful for those of you who listen to the program and come to the website at aspire.org and listen to past programs, even future programs that are there, but even more importantly to me, that you offer your questions and your comments. You have no idea how much this means to me, and I want to thank you. If you are listening to this radio program and finding it of service to you, or maybe one of the TV programs that you see on the Aspire website under media, these programs are all made from people such as yourself who have become donors. They have become sponsors of our radio and our TV program, and I hope that you will consider being a sponsor and helping us sustain our efforts here on Aspire by making a contribution, a year-end gift, or becoming a sponsor and really helping us sustain our efforts here on Aspire. Without your support, well, we could not be here. And it is only through your loving heart and your loving kindness that Aspire is allowed to continue. So I hope that you will become a sponsor and help us. It is hard to help people understand the nature of their own life. It's really interesting to me how the things that are most important in this world, such as inner growth, even education of children, is considered so unimportant by the culture and the society that we live in. Everybody wants an education. Everybody wants, not everybody, but a lot of people want to act and live more consciously. But now, as the tide turns and we see politics doing what it does and all the ugly stuff, we start to really realize more than ever before that we need something greater than politics, religion, and philosophy. And that's what Aspire is all about. I hope that you see that in these programs and hear it and become a sponsor and help us. Let's go to the questions. I get a lot of questions about the word help. Not the one the Beatles sang, but help. So I chose three questions that I've gotten over the past 4 or 5 months about help me this, help me that. And I hope in some way I'm able to be of service to you in all of this. The first question comes from Kelly. And let's see, she says to me, and she does not tell me where she lives, what would really help me is more money. Plain and simple. Greg, do you know how I could get more money? Kelly. Well, Kelly, you don't give me a lot to work on here, so I don't know your situation. I don't know your circumstances, and actually, and seriously, it's not important for me to know. But I say that because some of the things I might say here will be relevant and some may not, so forgive me for that. It's just the lack of knowing who you are and your circumstances. Money is connected to certain areas of this universe, or in our worldly life, in worldly orders, that has to do with how clear we are. Now, I want you to understand something. When I use the word clear, I mean free of the toxins of fear and hate and anger and all the other stuff that we typically enjoy. But I want to go deeper than that. I have seen some very difficult people, people who did things, act in ways, think in ways that are extremely ugly, get loads and loads of money. And I want you to understand something. It isn't the amount of money a person may have that makes them wealthy. Wealth comes from within oneself. And if you have gratitude in your heart, you are a wealthy person. It doesn't matter how much money you have. Now, if you want to be a rich person, the rich person has no gratitude. They think that they've earned the money. So they have a right to it, and they don't have any real gratitude towards the money thing. I earned it. It's mine. Why should I be grateful? I've heard this many, many times. People who are wealthy have everything they need, and they are grateful. They see the bigger picture of their life, and they realize that this world is not a world where you come to and try to get as much money as you possibly can. That's not what it's all about. But that's the way people think. People think the amount of money makes you wealthy. This is not true. This is not the way. It is not the sums of money that you have. It's the way you deal with what you have. So, Kelly, you think you need more. I don't know what your circumstances are, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I do or try to relate to you some teachings that may not apply to you, all right? But they seem to apply to everyone I know, and hence they might very well apply to you. You have to take your mind off the money. That's the first thing. It isn't the money you need. You need to clear. And if you clear, which means the following things, first of all, forgive. I am sure there are elements and things in your life that need forgiving. Maybe the forgiveness for yourself, forgiveness for others, people that have hurt you, maybe how you have hurt yourself. Maybe you resent your circumstances, your conditions that make you feel like you need more money, yada, 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 anything like that. First of all, don't put money on circumstance. Clear yourself. Let go of the idea of dollars and cents and start to see beyond the money. What is it about me that makes life possible? What is it about me that makes life fluid? What is it about me that makes life abundant to me? I think if you look at it very deeply and you look at it with a sense of some kind of inner sincerity, you will see within yourself that the things that occur within your life that are deeply important are the things that do not have anything to do with dollars and cents. They have to do with love. The state of our love as individuals will be in direct proportion to how money flows to us, how we use it, how it becomes our karma, and how it flows in and out of our worldly life. People who are truly wealthy may not have a lot of money. They may not have many possessions. But the thing that they have is a sense of inner equality. They are equal to the generosity and the mercy of life itself. And in that generosity and in that mercy is the key to true wealth in this lifetime. How it will grow in you has to go beyond your genetic disposition. If it doesn't go beyond your genetic disposition, you will not mature, you will not grow, you will not become anything more or less than a version of your mother and your father. This is the glass ceiling that most people don't get. We are a very complicated organism. You have your genetics and you have your DNA. And how we live in both our genetics and our DNA establishes within ourselves the amount of money we will have or not have in our life. And that's where the money comes in. So if I am sitting there trying to fight with my genetics that say to me, this is what you deserve and only this, or this is how much you should have and you should have even more and do everything you can to get that, you will find yourself in a bind. You will find yourself caught in duality. But when you merge with the all, when you merge with love, when you merge with kindness, when you merge with the bigger picture of your life, and you find in that merging, there is great, shall we say, gratitude for everything that you are and everything that's in your life. That is when something from the other shore will come to you, and you will start to see the meaning of your own existence. And that meaning will supply you with more than what you need. It will give you the very essence of what it is that is most important in your life. Now, I'm going to say something here that many of you are not going to like. We are not here to have a lot of money. And the burden of having great wealth, well, I should say, excuse me, great money, loads and loads and loads of it, becomes something of a cancer in people. The desire for it becomes a cancer in people, and we do not mature and grow past it. So we start to have these great difficulties in our life, either with it or without it. Greed does not fulfill itself through money. I have seen many a greedy, unhappy, ugly person do things that were terrible towards themselves and other people. They made themselves ugly. And they didn't have a cent in their pocket. And I've seen it the other way too. It is all in what you're fighting within yourself, your genetic disposition. And most of us do not go very far. We don't stray far from the farm. So you're going to have to devote yourself, Kelly, to love. If you do love and you give up money, you will see something of the other shore will reach you. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you everything, as Jesus talked about. Money is not evil. It's only evil in the hands of those who are evil. And that's the end of that. Oh, I could go on and on. Kelly, forgive me. I have to move on. I don't know if I helped you with this one, but I can only hope so. Please forgive me. Namaste. Money's a very touchy subject. Easily confused. Next question. What I need is for my husband to see my views on why I need not to work. I don't want to work. How do I get him to understand this and for him to get off his duff and make more money? Linda, get off his duff? I don't know your marital circumstances, but I love that. Get off your duff. All right, let's just get into this. First of all, from the genetic disposition and your DNA, women generally do not want to work. It's not in their DNA. They are the stick gatherers. They make babies. Well, they don't make them, but they come through them, I should say. And they make dinner and prepare the meals and raise the kids. It's in the DNA. DNA. And most of us are more susceptible to that DNA than we would like to admit or even understand. So, Linda, it's really natural that you don't want to work. Because if you work, you go against the grain of your DNA. Now, it's also a genetic thing. And I know some women who work very, very hard. They don't want to work that hard, but they work very hard. And some of them do it for their family, for their survival, but others do it for their hubris. They do it to become more than what they think they are. It's an ego situation. It's a low self-esteem thing. And they live in their low self-esteem, and they're trying to prove to the world and others that they're this great CEO or whatever. And all of that, of course, does not lend itself to inner awakening. It does not lend itself to true inner wealth. So you asked me, what I need is for my husband to see my views on why I don't want to work or don't need to work. How do I get him off his stuff? I don't know your relationship, and I'm not even going to go there. I will say this, that women use money as a way to leverage their point of view, leverage their ideas. They qualify men through money. They don't necessarily love the men they marry. They just love what the men can give them. And that's just about it. They're not deeply attracted to the man. They're deeply attracted to what the man can give them. I understand all this, and you should too. I mean, this should be very clear within you, because this love thing that we have, oh, I love you, is a genetic and a DNA disposition in us. We love the people that help us the most. If those people that have helped you the most, your husband, your wife, whatever, were to suddenly not want to do that and they want to sit on their duff, maybe you wouldn't love them as much. Maybe when you were dating and you were considering marrying this guy, as one woman said it to me, qualifying men, as you were qualifying him, maybe you overlooked the idea that maybe he didn't want to work as hard as you wanted to spend. Huh? So you had an idea of a lifestyle. He had an idea of a lifestyle. And the two lifestyles never met. So there you are. I know women who have sold out to men. And I know men who mainly have sold out to women. How did they do that? Well, men have men, disease. You know what man disease is? We want the Madonna whore syndrome. And we want you to be a Madonna in public, but a whore in the bedroom. And we want you to, you know, make those grilled cheese sandwiches and make those wonderful meals that everybody loves. And you can be proud of your wife. She looks like a hot candy when you walk into a room with her. Everybody's, you know, that kind of thing. So men are no better at this than women. Believe me, in our genetic disposition and our DNA, we fall to women just like that. And if you feed us right, the best way to a man's heart, as it is said, is through his stomach. That is so very true. I have seen it in people over and over and over again. When the woman is going in for the kill, and wants to get that guy, you know, into the marriage thing, she will start cooking for him a little bit here, a little bit there. And boy, that really does it. And if she's a good cook, really good cook, there are two things women have to be good at for men, sex and food. And first it's sex, and then it's food. And then when you get married, it's food. And then sex is, who knows where that is. But that's the way people think. And that's the way men think. And women know this. They're smart. They're cunning. And at times they're very dangerous. Very dangerous to a lot of different things on this planet, and not only to their relationships, but to themselves. So you have to begin to look at the bigger picture here. What are we doing? You want to get this guy off his duff? Maybe you should help him find out where his head's at. Maybe inspire him. Did you ever think of that? Oh, geez, that might be too new an idea. What if you actually inspired him to do wonderful things with his life? What would you do? Do you ever sit down and say, what do you really want to do with your life? What would be meaningful to you? You might try that. You might try getting to know what he's all about, who he is, and get your perspective off the idea that you don't want to work anymore because it's in your genetic and DNA disposition not to. I have students that do the same thing. The women in my group, all of them, and I got plenty of them, they don't want to work. And they're very disappointed about their, let me see, mid-40s or so, where they're still working and they thought their husbands would be able to support them and they could go do, you know, their little artsy, craftsy thing, or they could travel. Women love to travel. They love to spend gobs of money on travel. Where are you going to go? What are you going to see? And how's that going to make you a better person? I know women who have traveled all over the world 2-3 times. They're no different from the ones that never traveled. They're still the same way. And men, the same thing. Your travel isn't going to change your life. What's going to change your life is how you live from within yourself, what you live from within you. And if you don't understand what you live from within yourself, and what the source of your own life is, you'll miss the whole kit and caboodle. And that would be terrible. That would, well, most people do, and they don't think it's terrible. The next, I'm sorry, Linda, I got to go. I hope that helped you. I do. Please forgive me. Namaste. Oh, how many, I have sat in hours and hours of counseling sessions with men and women fighting over money and her resentment towards having to work and him being so shocked. What do you mean you don't want to work? Blah, 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 blah. He's so shocked. The next question comes from Judd, and I don't know where Judd lives. Please help me. I am drowning in my fears about money and the future. What do I do? Judd. The future is murky, to say the least, isn't it? Especially in this country. God, by the time you hear this radio program, the election will long be over, and I'm recording it long before the election. So most people think that whoever is president is going to make a difference. And everybody thought Obama was going to make this huge difference in our country. And he kept, we the people, we're going to do this together. No. Your life, your help, your prosperity, your living is not about a politician. And drowning in your fears about the future and everything has nothing to do with another person unless you make it so. Now, if you want to make it so, it is so. If you want to put yourself in that position, so be it. But I think it would be wiser for you and me to no longer give ourselves over to people we know nothing about, and to causes and situations and concerns we know nothing about. I think it would be better, smarter, wiser for all of us to begin to have an inner expression of life as love and begin to live the love that lives within us rather than the fears. How do I get you off the fear drug? I can't. You have to be so tired of it, as Lhasa said in the Tao, sick of your own sickness. You have to be done with it. You have to say, no, I'm going to face my fears. I'm going to go towards the things that I need to face in order to overcome my basic fear of my own survival, my own life. Your life is more than money and stuff. And I know you want to have enough money to live your own fantasy about a carefree life, but that's not what this living is all about. This living is about, well, first of all, my karma and what I am here to, well, understand about my karma. If I understand my karma, I understand the depth and the width of my own life. I understand the beauty of my existence as life itself. So if I am doing things like that, I am actually changing the circumstances around me. But if I don't change the circumstances because I'm in my fear of everything, then I have nothing. I move, I live, I have my being in nothing but fear. And that won't change one thing in my entire life. It is your fear you need to conquer, and only love conquers fear. Only love. Hate does not conquer fear. Aggression does not conquer fear. Ambition does not conquer fear. Hate is dispelled by love, as the Buddha said. And if you can put yourself to the task, Judd, of letting go of your opinions about politics, people, religion, philosophy, it is your opinion you need to let go of. Greg Penn, I'm sure, has just the same opinions that you do. But the difference is, I hear them in the background. I do not act upon them. Opinion makes me ugly. It makes me limited. It takes wealth away. And more importantly, it absolutely destroys my ability to forgive. And nothing, believe it or not, in matters of money is more important than forgiving. I gotta go. Please forgive me, Judd. Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, or anything I might be of service to you in, you know what to do. Come to the website at aspire.org. Go hit the media button. Pull it down. You'll see Satsang with Siraj. Just click on that and send me an email. I'd love to hear from you. Have a beautiful weekend. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.